the Spirit can use skill. Mm-hmm. The Spirit can use creative harmonies. The Spirit can use beautiful voices. Spirit can use a tight beat rhythm section to communicate God's glory, God's presence. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need them.
Right.
Welcome to Sound Plus Doctrine, the podcast of Sovereign Grace Music, where we explore what the Bible has to say about music and worship in the church and encourage those who plan, lead, and participate in their Sunday gatherings each week.
Hello, and welcome to the Sound Plus Doctrine podcast. My name is David Zimmer.
My name's Bob Coughlin. And we are so happy that you've joined us for this episode of Sound Plus Doctrine.
We are.
We are, let me tell you the history of this episode. Back in 2021, in season two of the Sound Plus Doctrine podcast.
So many seasons.
There are a lot of seasons. I didn't know we had done so many seasons. We did an episode called God Encounters, How Should We Think About Experiencing God? Hmm. And at the end of that, I read it in the notes, we said we'd be following up with another podcast on that topic. And here we are 4 years later, following up.
What have we been doing?
I don't know.
We've been very busy.
Got way late along the way. this whole topic, the topic of God's presence, you see it everywhere.
Yes.
And that's right, because God's presence is such a significant part, of God's intention for his people. Mm. You see it throughout Scripture from the very beginning, where God puts Adam and Eve in the garden, and in Genesis 3:8 says, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Mm. He created us for fellowship with him.
Right.
And then I'm just going to do a quick biblical overview of the presence of God. So we see the significance in Scripture, and this is the highest level overview. Yeah. When God's people were setting out on the journey in the wilderness, Moses says in Exodus 33, verse 15, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here.
Hmm.
And I love this. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?
Yes.
There is something about the presence of God that distinguishes who we are.
Yeah.
We are God's, and he dwells in our midst. And then when God was telling the Israelites to build the tabernacle, in Exodus 25, he says, verse 8, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. Mm-hmm. So again, God wants to dwell in our midst. Exodus 29:46, they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of the land of Egypt that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. So God delivers to indwell. Mm-hmm. He wants to be with us. And then when Solomon builds the temple, 1 Kings 8, verse 13, he says, I have indeed built you an exalted house, a place for you to dwell in forever.
Yes.
Again, this idea that God is with us is so much a part of God's intention in our relationship. Mm-hmm. But then he says in verse 27, chapter 8, 1 Kings, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house that I have built. So he's giving voice to the fact that God doesn't really dwell in one place.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
He's omnipresent.
Yeah.
But then this is just so wonderful. And you get into the New Testament. Matthew 1:23 says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, mm-hmm. and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Hmm.
And so for 33 years, God in the flesh walked among us. Hmm. He was truly dwelling with us. Then as he's preparing to leave, Matthew 28:20, Jesus prepared to ascend to heaven. He gives the great commission to his disciples and then says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Hmm.
So it's not like, okay, see ya. Yeah. I've been here. I know we've kind of hung out and everything. No, I will be with you to the very end of the age. And then we have in Hebrews 13:5, the writer quotes Moses' declaration to Joshua from Deuteronomy 31:6 and says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So God is with his people. We have the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost where God dwells in us. He is with us. And then the end of it all, what it's all headed towards, Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. It's so great. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.
Yes.
So just with that very cursory overview, it's obvious that God's presence among his people is a big deal.
Yeah.
God wants to be with us. But you hear that phrase, we hear that phrase, God's presence, just thrown away, thrown around in a way that can be confusing.
Yeah,
we're
definitely
not sure what it means. I mean, I've heard, well, we'll talk about it, but, you know, people talk about God's presence as though it's this thing we can just kind of make happen and, you know, predict, and it's just not quite the way Scripture talks about it.
Yeah, and I mean, you have been leading worship and thinking theologically about corporate worship for a really, really long time.
Centuries.
And this idea of, oh, we just long for God's presence to be in our midst.
Yes.
I mean, this has been around your whole time in ministry.
Well, yeah, I came to the Lord in 1972, and that was in the Jesus movement.
Yeah.
And it was very much a thing. I mean, things were happening back in the 70s in the States that you just couldn't explain. And there was an excitement, there was a zeal, there was an expectation that, wow, God is really with us. I mean, that's what you wanted to say.
Yeah.
Whew. And then sometimes you wonder, was that God? Was that God?
Yeah.
I mean, and it was pervasive.
Yeah.
It wasn't even just in the church meeting. It was outside, you know. Yeah, it was almost palpable.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't.
Yeah.
And then what do you do with that?
Right. And so I think that's, and we're going to dive all into this, but that's where it feels like, well, we have to try to manufacture it to get back to where it was.
Yeah.
The other reaction you have is, people going completely away, swinging completely away from that. I was like, well, you can't define that was God's presence.
Yes,
so let's never talk about it.
Yes. Yes.
Never talk about God's presence.
So what we've entitled this episode is manufacturing, marketing, and minimizing God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
So three unhelpful ways to approach God's presence.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna at the end suggest ways to think about it. And this might be two podcasts, I'm not sure.
We'll see how much we talk.
We'll find out as we go. But I did want to start. I forgot to do this. I did want to mention before we dive in just the importance God puts on our response to his presence. Psalm 105, excuse me, says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually.
Yeah.
So there it is. There's a command. Seek his presence continually.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to begin. The last point really has to do with that. Don't minimize his presence.
Yes.
But we want to begin with talking about how we can seek his presence in unbiblical ways. Two ways we do it. So the first is, we aren't supposed to manufacture God's presence. And we can't manufacture God's presence. I did a little Googling for this episode and found one video that said, use intense worship and prayers to bring down God's presence. I don't think so. I don't think we can make that promise. You know, intense, just worship and prayers won't do it. But if they're intense, they will do it.
Right.
And I've seen, advertisements for churches looking for music leaders, and you know, it's we need a worship leader who will be able to bring us into the presence of God.
Yeah.
Well, we we'll talk about that. So let's see. You know, of course, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Yeah. Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? Mm-hmm. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. But I think when we're talking about God's presence, we mean something different. The times that God makes his presence more clear, more tangible, like in the 70s, or the mid-90s, the Toronto blessing, or at different times. We experience when our hearts are flooded with peace, or when we're suddenly aware of God's greatness in the midst of a meeting. Yeah. It doesn't have to be in the midst of a meeting. When someone is healed, we think, you know, there's this, whoa, it's not just us. It's not just us.
Yeah.
You know, we're not in Kansas anymore. we are just aware God is with us.
Yeah.
And we think we can manufacture that.
Right.
It comes to us when God's word is being preached and it pierces our hearts. I mean, there have been times, this has happened to you, when you're listening to the word being preached and it suddenly seems like the preacher just disappears and you are hearing God speak to you.
Yeah.
You know, there's this, it grips you.
Yeah. And it's not always that the preacher is a phenomenal preacher.
Right, that's
it's
right.
It's the word that's being preached.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's the same that happens through song lyrics. It's the same when a friend texts you and you say, wow,
you
have no idea, like, what's going on in my life. And that text message that you sent me, God used that thing to... Yeah, it's a dependent awareness that God is working in our midst. It's not just us sharing the things that he said.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is using that.
Yes.
And the same thing could be said 150 times, and on the 151st, there's a reaction, an awareness.
Yes.
That, wow, the Lord is using this. Yeah.
So because we've become more aware.
Because we have become more aware.
I did see an article on just being attentive to the Lord's presence. And I think that's an important part of it.
Yeah.
You can walk outside and, you know, look at the trees, if there are trees outside where you are. You can look at the sky. You can look at nature and either just go, oh, well, another day.
Yeah.
Or you can marvel at the fact that there is a God who knows every molecule that you're seeing and is holding it all together.
Yeah.
And just think, wow, his care, his kindness, his sovereignty, his power. Yeah, that's being attentive.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about times when you realize God is here. I remember hearing a message at a conference, and at the very end, it was as though a pin could drop. You could hear a pin drop. Everybody was so affected by the word that was being preached and the sobriety that it brought.
Yeah.
The awareness of God that it brought. So yeah, we experience, we're all thinking, God's really here. Mm. Now he was there before.
Yes.
But now we're really experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
Good intentions notwithstanding, no one can consistently and meaningfully bring God's experienced presence to a group of people.
Mm.
No musician, no pastor, no singer, no preacher, no leader, nobody. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, and he functions on his terms, not ours. He distributes gifts as he wills, as he assigns them.
Yeah.
He manifests the presence of God as he wills, as he determines. Of course, the Spirit uses means.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when God's word is preached in an engaging, faithful way, Christ-exalting way, people will often experience a greater awareness of God's presence. I never heard Martin Lloyd-Jones preach, but I heard people say that when they heard him preached, it was, you just were aware of the presence of God. I imagine that's what it was like to hear Charles Spurgeon preach. There are some present-day preachers you will often think, yes, God is speaking through them. When we sing biblical truths together, God will make his presence known among us.
Yes.
In a tangible way. It's a rare Christian, I think, who hasn't experienced at some point in singing this awareness of the nearness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be just at a conference.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, right.
It's not supposed to be just at a conference.
Right.
When we just came back from a conference, You're Gathering the Gospel in California. And one of the things we want to make clear, we do make clear at the end of all our conferences, is we don't do this conference so that you can just anticipate the next conference.
Yes.
This is so that you get to go back now and do the best part, and that is serve your local church.
Right.
That's where God wants to reveal his presence.
Yes. The purpose of the conference is to equip you, not impress you.
Mm. Well said. But there is that temptation,
yeah,
isn't there? You get a bunch of people in a room bigger than your church.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Professional musicians,
yeah.
And everybody's singing. It's amazing. And you think, this is the presence of God.
This is it, yeah.
But you know God just is present in your church.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't manufacture it. The richness of those experiences, though, can tempt us to think that our ultimate goal is helping people experience the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say yes and no.
Right.
You know, if helping people experience the presence of God means doing everything I can to exalt the glory of Jesus in their minds and hearts and wills through biblically informed things like the Word of God and the Lord's Supper and prayer, yes, then yes.
Yes.
We can help them experience the presence of God.
Right. And I don't mean to cut you off.
No,
but
cut me off anytime.
I think that's sort of the running joke among us of like, okay, lead us to the throne room.
Yes, yes.
Because yes. What you're saying is that'll happen a lot during our Worship Matters intensives. Well, we'll just eat lunch. We'll all be tired and dragging. And so the next guy who's going to stand up and lead, okay,
yeah.
Well, your job is to, you know. So, but I love how you're saying it is a yes and no, because he's not doing that. The truth that he's leading us in,
that's right,
has the ability
that's
to
right.
do that.
That's right. And if my goal is to make people feel something, if the measure of my success is the degree of emotional fervor in the room, then I'll use whatever means I can to produce that emotional response.
And we see that all over the place.
It's such a temptation.
It's so easy to do.
Yeah. We're asked that question often, different training situations where, you know, what if people aren't responding?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of bad answers to that.
Yes.
You know, modulate.
True.
Increase the volume.
Yeah.
Sing louder.
Well, and then also the temptation of, just take more time. You're just not
Linger.
Giving it enough time. Linger.
Yes, yes,
sit
yes,
in
yes,
it
yes.
for a second.
Yes. Yeah, think nothing.
Yeah.
Just let your thoughts wander aimlessly. That'll bring the presence of God. The temptation is to think, and this is manufacturing the presence of God, my song, my leadership, my voice,
mm-hmm.
I never think that, the songs I picked, my playing, you know, the chords I'm using, the mm-hmm. harmony. I was playing a conference one time and a guy turned around to me and said, there's healing in that thing you're playing. I thought, I don't think so. I'm just playing chords. That's all I'm doing.
Wow.
But in his perspective, this was many years ago.
Yeah.
It was...
It's so tempting, though, for congregations because they are not made... They're not thinking necessarily theologically.
Yes, yes.
When they hear good music versus bad music.
Yes.
Or something excellently done versus poorly done, they equate it to, it's just so much more palatable, tangible.
Yes.
With good music, good production, good performance.
Well, it's just so helpful to remember the Spirit can use skill.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit can use creative harmonies. The Spirit can use beautiful voices. Spirit can use a tight beat, rhythm section.
Yeah.
To communicate God's glory, God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need them.
Right.
He just doesn't need them.
Yeah.
And so when we become confident in them, not only dependent, but confident in them. Yeah, if I just do this, I know the Spirit's showing up. I just know.
Right.
Then we've lost our way.
Totally.
Years ago, I was, this is 2009, John Piper was speaking at one of the Worship God conferences. And I remember just encouraging him that the conference was going great, but now it's going to be even better, you know, because he was speaking in an inimitable John Piper fashion. he said something like, oh, great, John Piper's here. Oh, the Spirit's going to show up. God's going to show up because I'm here. You know, and it's like, I was just trying to encourage you. I was just trying to encourage you, John. And to be clear, God did show up. I mean, I have people reference that conference to this day. And say what, you know, how meaningful it was to them. Wow. And we were greatly encouraged. But John's point is true, that no individual can guarantee the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't intend for us to manufacture it, mm-hmm. not through smoke machines, mm-hmm. not through dark rooms, not through special lighting. Those do not bring the presence of God.
Right.
And that's just a number of, I'm sure there are more things I could say about that, but maybe it's good that we stop there. We cannot manufacture the presence of God. And if you're a part of a church now where you sense that's happening, I would talk to the leaders. I would say, mm-hmm. ask questions, you know. How am I to think about this? You know, maybe they've said something that implies, you know, we're making the presence of God happen.
Yes.
We can't do that.
Right.
So that's the first thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Second, we can't manufacture God's presence, we can't market God's presence.
Yes.
At least we aren't supposed to. Again, in my research that I did for this, I came across a few videos I wanted to read the titles of. The single fastest way into the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Wowza.
I don't know if we're to distinguish between like the slowest, the medium range, the fastest way into the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't think we can even control that. Five keys to activate the manifest presence of God in your life. Five keys. I mean, they may be, and I think this, I'm not sure if this one did that or not, but it may be, you know, pray. Study God's word. Serve other people. You know, those that you're talking about, great. I'm not sure that's what they're talking about. And then this is the one I really love. How to feel God's presence in 8 minutes and never doubt again.
Wow.
Right there. I want you to watch that one. You know.
Yeah.
That's marketing God's presence. It's, you know, watch me talk about this. I earn money as you're doing it, you know, because I promise you something.
Right.
I promise that by doing this thing that I tell you to do, you're going to experience God's presence. That's
right.
Marketing God's presence. It's promoting my ministry, my song. Mm-hmm. You know, this song will get you into God's presence. My book, my event, my concert, my gathering, on the basis of how consistently people experience God's presence as a result of buying those things or coming to those things. Mm. I remember I once received a promo from a Christian artist who said his ministry goal was to take people into the presence of Jesus Christ where they are forever changed by his amazing love. Now, I think I know what they mean.
Yeah.
It's just not a great way to phrase it.
Right.
I can't take people into the presence of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take people into the presence of God. I can proclaim the gospel that assures them that we have been brought near to the Father through the finished work of Christ. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near. That's the exhortation. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. There is just bucket upon bucket of encouragement, of exhortation to draw near. You can draw near now.
Yeah.
Why? Because you've got someone, you know, singing a certain song in a certain voice with certain chords?
Right.
Nope.
Right.
Because Jesus has done it.
Yeah.
It's just
Well, he's done all the work. That's the beauty about that passage, is that we wouldn't draw near. We couldn't draw near.
Yep.
And that the Spirit is the one who does that.
Yes.
The Spirit is the one who draws us.
Yes. So I leave it to the Holy Spirit. We leave it to the Holy Spirit to apply that to people's hearts. Mm-hmm. We can't make it happen. I mean, I've been invited to attend conferences, not lead at them, thankfully, download songs, attend concerts, buy books, and listen to preachers who all claim they will bring me into God's presence for a price. And that's what marketing God's presence is.
Yeah.
We cannot buy the presence of God. We cannot sell the presence of God. In Acts 8, you know, Simon the magician realized that when he saw the disciples lay their hands on people with dramatic effect, he offered them cash. Said, hey, give me that power. I want to do that.
Yes.
Peter rebuked him.
Right.
Said, that is so wrong. God's power, like God's presence, it can't be bought or sold. Mm-hmm. He doesn't call us so much to be facilitators of his glory as faithful to the gospel.
Right.
So, you know, it's such a pressure. And again, we often receive this question, something's not happening here. I'm leading, I'm doing all the stuff, I'm taking the steps, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and nothing's happening. The temptation is to, especially after you leave a conference, the temptation is to create this environment of excitement, this fervor, this passion. God's here. When really we want to create an environment where people can respond to the true God through the gospel in the power of the Spirit. They have to see what God has done in Jesus Christ. That's what will move them. That's what the Holy Spirit uses often to make us aware of his presence.
Right.
Now, I know some people have asked me and probably you, doesn't Sovereign Grace Music charge for their recordings and their events? Like, aren't you being hypocritical?
Yeah.
And I appreciate that question. Yes, we do charge for things. Only as often as we have to. We give away all our charts for free. We give away all our resources for free. And others do that, and we thank God for that.
Yeah.
And it's not wrong to charge for things. But what we charge for is costs related to ministry, things like production costs, salaries, resources, because we are committed to getting those things out, but we're not promising to bring people into the presence of God.
Right.
God's got to do that.
Right.
Now, when we put on a conference, three things that we want to happen. We want people to be encouraged, we want them to be equipped, and we want them to encounter God. We'll do our best to, all three, really. I mean, we give away stuff, we tell them, thank them for coming. We do a lot to encourage them. We try to equip them, through breakouts and through the messages and through teachings. We try to equip them. And we're always thinking application. Thinking this as we prepare for Worship God 26, July 28th through 31st in Louisville, Kentucky. Just thought I'd throw that in there. and then we pray that people will encounter the Lord.
Yeah.
But we don't design things so that, it's all aimed at that. And we don't sell that.
Yes.
You come and you'll experience the presence of God like you've never experienced before.
Right.
We leave that up to the Lord to do.
Yeah. And in many ways, wouldn't you say that the conference is designed to have the elements of our Sunday gatherings?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, so like the musicians are people that we use on our church.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
The messages are long enough that there's time to exposit and to preach. Yeah.
And as much as possible, we prefer text-driven messages, expositional messages, messages that are telling us what God has said and the way he has said it.
Yes.
Because I think so often we go to Scripture to find what we want to find.
Yes.
And, a verse here, a verse there, passage there. And we want to hear what God has said about these things.
Right. But I do appreciate you bringing that up. I think there must be a sensitivity to it. We need to have a sensitivity to the fact that this is God's word.
Yes.
And these are his truths.
Well, that's what everything subsists under.
Yes. And this is a natural outflowing of our hearts. It's not a, it's not necessarily a gig. It's not necessarily a, it should never be a platform for prestige and
absolutely
attention.
Not.
It should be, we should be laying our lives down.
That's what we're doing.
These are the means, but
that's what we're seeking to do.
Yeah.
So those are the first two points, and it looks like this is going to be two podcasts.
Hopefully two.
Not three. We can't manufacture God's presence. We aren't meant to market it. But it is a continual cause of wonder and amazement that the creator of the universe wants to dwell among those he created.
Yeah.
God's presence is a distinguishing mark of his people.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to minimize it.
Yeah.
And the question we want to answer, we'll start here, but I think we'll finish in the next podcast. Does it make any difference?
Mm.
You know, really, does it make any difference that God really is with us?
Yeah.
I mean, I know there are churches that meet week after week after week and expect nothing unusual, nothing out of the ordinary, as though it was just, you know, just a bunch of people getting together and we're going to read the Bible, we're going to sing, we're going to pray. And, you know, I know growing up for me, I grew up Catholic, and I mean, there was always the emphasis on the Eucharist, but we were pretty much going through motions, and I didn't have a sense that, you know, there was something happening that, you know, I think there was an effort to try and make God's presence palpable through physical means.
Yeah.
Whether that be the design of the building.
Yes.
Or vestments that were worn, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm, what about your experience?
Well, I was just going to say, I think, I mean, different from yours, but there's something interesting about the fact that, like, you know, they were at least attempting to, well, we want to show his presence here.
Yes.
But I think there can be a swing to, especially if you grew up like Reformed, there can be a swing from, oh, well, obviously we're not that.
Yes.
We're not chasing that emotionalism.
Yes. Yes.
So let's never talk about God's presence. He's here. He's omnipresent.
Yeah.
But we don't need to talk. We don't need to anticipate that he's going to potentially do something. We're just going to assume the work that he does is through prayer, through preaching the word, through meeting, and then leaving.
Yes.
And again, not minimizing those things. Obviously, that's where it's happening.
Yeah.
But a minimization of the fact that, do you know that he's here?
Yes.
Do you have an awareness of that he's here? You know, I came across this this Richard Baxter quote, God's presence makes a crowd a church.
That's great.
And sometimes it feels like our Sunday gatherings are a crowd.
Yeah.
You know? Are they the church that's indwelt by God himself, by the Holy Spirit?
It's remarkable. I mean, just hearing you talk about it, I'm just affected again to think that the God who created everything that exists desires to dwell in our midst as we gather, of course, all throughout life, all of life.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any difference to how we think? So let's end here. Whether you're someone, we know people listen to the podcast who aren't connected to leading or preparing for their meeting at all.
Yeah,
the Sunday gathering. That you're a believer in Christ. So we want to ask you: does it make any difference to you that you're going to a meeting this Sunday, where God Himself will be present among you and has promised to be there? Does that change anything? If you're those who prepare. You know, you pick the songs, you lead the liturgy, you're preaching maybe. Does it make any difference to you that God is going to be with you as you're preparing this? That he's with you in the preparation? That he's going to be with you as you do those things? And for those who lead, does it make any difference that God's going to be with you? Or are you just trying to get through the meeting without any train wrecks?
Yeah.
You know, make sure there are no gaps.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be seamless.
Right.
Make sure things flowed. You know, is that how we're thinking about it? I think that'd be minimizing God's presence. And so we're going to devote the whole next episode to that. And if you've listened to this one, we strongly encourage you to listen to the next one, because in that one, we're going to talk about ways to not minimize God's presence.
Wonderful.
But in this
point, I like the cliffhanger.
Yeah, I know. We're leaving. Da-da. So anyway, thank you for joining us. We so appreciate. And if you have any questions about what we're talking about, send an email to soundplusdoctrine@sovereigngrace.com. Spell out the word plus. And we'd love to hear from you. But thank you for being with us.
And we'll see you at the next episode.
We will.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Sound Plus Doctrine, the podcast of Sovereign Grace Music. Sovereign Grace Music exists to produce Christ-exalting songs and training for the church from our local churches. For more information, free sheet music, translations, and training resources, you can visit us at sovereigngracemusic.org.